Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to episode 23 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve, Joe, and Mike, and joining me once again is Sketch 1987. Hello. Oh, wait, sorry, that's the wrong year.
1987?
Yeah, I could have said 1997.
You know, actually, I'm good with that, because that's the year Ninja Turtles came out. And 84 is the year it came out as a comic.
Oh, that's where that comes
from. I was born of the year of the Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yes, you are. I was born of the year of Empire, sadly. Oh. So today we are going to be... this is probably going to be a very short episode of Tooncast Beyond, simply because there's only, what, 6, 7 episodes of this show so far?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I'll pull up the episode guide here in a minute. But yes, today we're going to be talking about Bruce Timm's return to his own style for the most part, even though it's CGI'd up. Green Lantern, the animated series. So how have you been?
Well, I've been pretty good. I actually just finished an episode review for Green Lantern for World's Finest the other day. I've been slacking on those, but decided to just kind of keep going forward with it and then catching up on the ones that I didn't get around to yet during the break, if necessary.
Awesome.
Yeah, because it's going to run about 13 episodes and then take a break.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You're going to save 13 for fall, you know.
That's true. Yeah, so far there's only been, we've only got 2 episodes left. So far there's only been 10 episodes of this series.
Seeing as we just, did the Young Justice episode, what'd you think of that?
Oh man, yeah, well, a couple of weeks ago we did the Young Justice episode, because, in between Young Justice and now, we had Spider-Man the New Animated Series, and what the hell was episode 22? I don't even remember. Yes. Unspectacular Spider-Man, correct, yes. unspectacular Spider-Man. But yeah, no, Young Justice, holy shit, dude. That's freaking awesome.
They really kept that one under wraps, I gotta say.
Every
interview, the guys making the show are like, oh, we pick up right where we left off, which is true for about 5 seconds.
Less than 5 seconds. It's been a few weeks since we recorded episode 21 and 22, so we're going to talk about that for a minute here, since Young Justice kind of ties in with it. I don't mean continuity-wise, but it ties in with Green Lantern, being that they're both shown on Saturday mornings on Cartoon Network. Young Justice Invasion was just amazing. I absolutely love it. I absolutely loved what they did with it. And I loved, and I know you're probably going to disagree with me on this, I love that when Dick Grayson Robin became Nightwing, they kept the same voice actor and they brought in someone else to do the Tim Drake Robin.
Oh, no, I totally approve of somebody else taking on Tim. Right. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Jesse.
Well, you mentioned on Twitter that...
it sounds too young.
And I looked at that tweet and I'm like, why the hell would... You know, no disrespect to NPH. I loved his Nightwing in Under the Red Hood, but I think for the
concept... Come on, man, we would have had, like... even more continuity with Red Hood.
Well, true, we would have, but I think for, like for me, when a voice changes that drastically within the span of a season and a half, or, you know, the end of a first season beginning, you know, it's like if they took Christopher Daniel Barnes, if they ripped him out of Spider-Man and put someone else in there in the 90s, I probably wouldn't have as much love as I do for that show. You know, it's the same thing like with it's the same thing with Transformers when you have David Kay as Megatron, and then in animated he switched up and he was Optimus. I still love David Kay's voice, and I still love him doing those two characters, but it's just, I think in the span of a show like Young Justice, you need to have that continuity. I'm sure Jesse McCartney could have made his voice sound a little bit older, or maybe he does with his with the character inflections he's giving towards the Nightwing side of the character now. But I don't think NPH, I think for me personally, if I had heard NPH as that Nightwing for Young Justice, I probably would stop watching the show.
Yeah, they probably couldn't have got him anyway.
Yeah, he's too busy doing award shows and all that other stuff. But no, and Young Justice Invasion was great. It was just abs. I'm loving that show.
That was a drastic move. But if you think of it as more of the show is the character, not just the set of characters.
Oh, right. Well,
Makes
yeah,
it.
see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, they even they don't beat you over the head with this, but they specifically tell you know, alpha team, beta team, whatever the C team is, I forget. And then or no, not C team, delta, alpha, beta, delta, and gamma. And they're like, oh, gamma, that's always the light job. Turns out gamma was one of the more important jobs out of what we saw in that 30-minute cartoon so far.
People are already taking bets that Lagoon Boy's not gonna last.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with some of these superhero cartoons that we're going to be talking about, not today's specifically with Green Lantern the animated series, but with some of the episodes coming up here on Tooncast Beyond, I'm probably not going to be too up to par on some, like, especially when we get to Wolverine and the X-Men, and when we get to Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I'm watching those two series right now, and I'm loving Wolverine and the X-Men. Avengers confuses the fuck out of me, and I think partially it's because of outside of Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, and Captain America, I don't know half of the damn villains that they're using.
Oh yeah, that's true. I actually like that though. I like
No,
to
or
be
no.
educated through the show.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with and I know we're off on a tangent here, but you know, that's the same thing with, you know, when X-Men 92 first came out. You know, that essentially introduced me to comics. I mean, I knew, like, before 1992, I knew that there were comic books, and I, you know, obviously I saw the Batman 66 reruns in the 80s and the Scooby-Doo Batman movies and all that stuff and whatever else, but I didn't start getting into comic books until I started watching X-TAS and Spider-Man TAS. That's what
Yeah,
got
that's no,
wanting to
that's
read comics.
yeah, that's like that's the jump off point for a lot of people.
Yeah. No matter how many people say that those shows don't hold up today, whatever. But anyway, yes, Green Lantern, the animated series, to give you to set the stage for this show, it's an American computer animated television series based on the DC Comics superhero Green Lantern. The series is currently airing on Cartoon Network as part of their DC Nation television block. A 1-hour sneak peek aired on November 11th, 2011, while the official premiere of the series was March 3rd, 2012, with a new episode airing every week since then. Technically not, because when it came back in March, they broke up that 1-hour sneak peek into the first two
Yeah.
episodes, and they showed that for the first, like, I was expecting new episodes, and it's like, I've seen this already. The next,
Yeah,
I've
but
seen this already. You know.
consider that they didn't rerun the pilot before then, so
Well, they did the same
what I
thing.
would have done is like made a big event out of it, rerun the pilot as an hour, like
Right.
9 to 10, and then the new episode. 'Cause it was freaking St. Patrick's Day
Yeah.
on the 17th. Well, I guess that would have been,
Yeah.
beyond that point then, but
Yes.
they
Especially.
totally could have done that on March 3rd, but as they're like, well, let's just treat them like separate episodes.
Mm. Yep.
They always do that crap.
I know, and I hate it. The series focuses on the adventures of Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern of Sector 2814, and his fellow warrior ally Kilowog, and their battle against series' main antagonist, the Red Lanterns, led by the villain Atrocitus, and the Manhunters. Atrocitus, seeking revenge on the Guardians of the Universe for destroying his home planet, leads the Red Lanterns in a quest of vengeance against the worlds and Green Lanterns of frontier space. Carol Ferris, Solak, the Guardians of the Universe, Saint Walker, and Zillis Zok serve as supporting characters in the series. Okay, back in November when you saw this as a one-hour special, what were your first impressions?
I was, frankly, quite impressed. I was not so keen on it being CGI. I thought it looked kind of bland from the previews.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to give it a shot, and I really liked it. I thought it was a very good introduction to Green Lantern for people who didn't know anything about it. It's a far better introduction to Green Lantern than that thing of a movie.
Yeah, the yellow fucking fear monster plot. Yeah, and, you know, for you, this ought to be great because you get your favorite voice actor as another superhero.
Well, yeah, this is harkening back to when Rhino Romano went from voicing Spider-Man to Batman, which I'm still a little not quite keen on, but yeah, he made it work. I'm liking Josh Keaton more as Hal than I like Rhino as Batman.
Yeah. You know, the thing with this is, it's like, already at that point when this aired, I had already heard that voice that he uses for, I mean, essentially it's his own voice. He does change the inflections a bit, but I've already heard a softer version of that watching the first season of Transformers Prime, because he voices Jack Darby on that. And
yep.
I didn't mind it, though, because he does, as I just said, with Hal, he changes his inflections just a little bit to make his voice sound similar or sound different. You know, you take a look at Kilowog. I swear to God, between Josh Keaton and Kevin Michael Richardson, they are in every cartoon I've watched in the last 6 months.
Yeah, they're getting around. Kevin especially is getting
Kevin
around.
Kevin's
in everything.
Kevin is Kilowog. Kevin is Panthro. Kevin is Bulkhead. Kevin is Bishop in Wolverine and the X-Men, even though that's done at this point. But everything I've watched through Netflix, through iTunes, on television in the last 6 months, since the beginning of 2012, and even last Christmas, Kevin Michael Richardson has had a hand in something. He's everywhere, and that's great for him. I love it because, you know, people will say, oh, well, that's just another Kevin Michael Richardson voice. That's the voice. No, not at all, because Kilowog's voice is slightly different from Panthro, and Panthro is slightly different from Bulkhead. So, yes, they are all KMR, but they are all very different.
I was looking at Kevin Michael Richardson's page the other day, and I saw that he voiced Wolverine one time, and I listened to that, and you know, it's really good.
What series was that for?
That was for, like, the Black Panther series.
Oh. Huh. That's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah. It was either a series or, like, one of those visual comics.
My first impression, now, just to give a little history for myself with Green Lantern, I believe you're the same way. I first, you know, yes, I knew of Hal Jordan as a kid from Challenge of the Super Friends, but I never connected with Green Lantern as a kid. I just didn't. I didn't connect with him until he was a Marine in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited with Phil LaMarr voicing John Stewart. And John Stewart and Kyle Rayner are my two favorite Earth Green Lanterns. They just are. And at the time, after Justice League ended, And then there was, you know, hints of a movie and who's gonna play him. And then there's all this news about this cartoon. And I was so sick of Hal Jordan being everywhere. Like, I loved what David Boreanaz did with him in New Frontier. I didn't mind Nathan Fillion voicing him a couple times in the other movies. I think Christopher Maloney's voice in First Flight was pretty good for that movie. But Hal was every Hal was yeah, Hal is DC's Earth Green Lantern at this point. They don't want to focus on Kyle or John or even Guy, which I'm not a fan of Guy Gardner whatsoever. But you know, with Josh doing the voice, and it sounds really cool, and it sounds similar to what I've heard him do in the past, you know, last few months. I don't mind him as Hal, and I don't mind Hal in this series because it's a series that is done well, it is written well. But as soon as I heard Kilowog, because I've heard Kilowog in the movies, and I'm sorry, as awesome as Henry Rollins is, him as Kilowog in, what was it, shit, Emerald Knights, I didn't really care for the Henry Rollins voice. For me, Kilowog at the time, and still to this day up until KMR, always was Dennis Haysbert from Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. So when Kevin Michael Richardson took it over, I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. No, the CGI, I love the CGI. I love the story. There are a couple to like the first not the first two episodes, but like episodes like 4, 5, and 6, it seemed like for me every other week I was liking or not liking the show. Like, it seemed to me for a while after the whole Atrocitus story at first with the pilot or with the first two episodes, it seemed to me that Bruce Timm and his team were trying, and his writing team and whoever else, I don't have the information in front of me of who's writing on the show, but it seemed like the team was trying to recapture that mini movie of the week feel that Batman the Animated Series had, where they were doing, you know, story of the week. They go here, they go there, they do this, they do that. And I wasn't really like when those episodes happened, I'm like, that's all right. It's okay. The last episode.
Essentially, they're world building or
Right,
person
yeah.
building, actually.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, the biggest world building or universe building happened a couple weeks ago, because by the time this airs, it will have been a couple weeks, and season one will have ended by that time. But as of this recording, the episode where Carol Ferris shows up just happened, and holy shit. That was pretty damn awesome. So yeah, that you know, I love the series art style. I love, even though it's a CGI version of Tim's style, I can still see his style in it. And that's what cartoons are now. I mean, not everything, but the majority of cartoons now are, you know, CGI animation. It's very rare that you have the hand-drawn stuff anymore. Especially with a superhero action adventure sci-fi cartoon for that genre. Yeah, as far as the who's who of the show, we've kind of mentioned here and there. Josh Keaton voices Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. Kevin Michael Richardson voices Kilowog. Jason Spizak voices Razor, and Gray Delisle voices Aya. You also have four recurring roles. You have Brian George as one of the Guardians. I can't pronounce their names. Ian Abercrombie as Ganfet. Suzanne Blakeslee as Saeed. Let's see. Jonathan Adams as Atrocitus. Atrocitus sounds awesome.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's a supervillain voice right there. Tom Kenny is Zealous Zox.
And you could tell immediately.
Oh, well, yeah, you can tell, but I love Zillis Zox, not only for the intensity and the anger that he has, but just the fact that he's essentially a soccer ball. You know, you kick him, you soccer ball, basketball, dodgeball, volleyball, whatever. You kick him, you throw him, he's a fucking ball that flies through the air. You got Kurtwood Smith as Shire Rev, I think. I can't pronounce his first name.
He was the guy on the first
Yeah, in the
on
pilot,
the
yeah.
yeah and,
I'm saving that other recurring role for later after we talk about all the other ones. You've got again, Tom Kenny is in this, Brian George as Metten, Rob Paulsen as Goggin. Oh,
Oh, I love that. I
that's
love that.
awesome, actually. That's very awesome. Good old Rob Paulsen. Robert Englund as Maiglom.
They'll be dead, or better, worse, dead even.
Yeah, Gray Delisle plays Alana. Why is Kevin Michael Richardson voicing Razor's ring? I didn't know the rings had voices. That's weird.
It was the voice that summoned him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I
Which,
got you.
at first, I'd forgotten that Kevin Michael Richardson was not Atrocitus.
Gotcha.
I was like, wait, shouldn't this be Atrocitus' voice? Oh, whatever. When Kevin Michael Richardson tells you to put on a ring, you do it.
When Kevin Michael Richardson is an entire planet, you just are like slack-jawed. He is the voice of Mogo. I love that. It's so awesome. And there's a bunch of others. I just this show has a great voice cast. The one I was saving to talk about was, because I wasn't sure at the time when the episode aired, but I am now because I recognize that voice. Carol Ferris slash Star Sapphire is the sexy and illustrious Jennifer Hale.
Yes,
Well, she
indeed.
went from Felicia Hardy Black Cat to Star Sapphire. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to stop Homer Simpson drooling over here.
Just the week before, she voiced Carol Danvers, I think, who's Miss Marvel on Avengers. So she's doubling the Carol.
Hey, there you go.
Both roles. Great book.
She also plays Blara Byra, one of the Rev's wife. I did
Yeah.
not know that was
Jennifer and Grey are all over the females in this show. That is quite all right.
Oh yes. But honestly, the voice cast for this is hands down one of the best voice casts for a superhero cartoon. There hasn't been a voice yet that I don't like. And as I said before, with KMR, I just know when he's doing. I mean, you just know. It doesn't matter what, because he has so many different. Even though there are voice actors like, okay, well, easiest example is the voice god of our age, Frank Welker. The man can change his voice into anything and everything, and does animal sounds and everything else. There's people like Rob Paulsen that technically Raphael from the 87 Turtles is his own voice, just slightly changed a little bit. He adds a little emphasis to it, but he'll do stuff like Wacko. He'll do stuff like Throttle from Biker Mice. There are voice actors that can do different. Maurice LaMarche is a absolute great impressionist. There are voice actors also like Kevin Michael Richardson, like Jason Marsden, like Barry Gordon, where their voice, their regular voice is the voice. Now, I think that Jason Marsden and Kevin Michael Richardson, they both they change the inflections in their voices, but you can still tell that that's their normal voice that they talk in from day to day. And I
Most
like
of the
that.
time. But
Yeah.
Kevin has a few, like, Kevin has quite a few voices that you wouldn't even know were him.
Yeah.
It's just he's often hired to just be his voice. And
Right. Yeah.
can you blame anybody for hiring him? I can't.
No, not at all.
No.
Getting into some of the production stuff for this show, as we mentioned, well, I didn't mention this earlier, but a preview was shown at the 2010 New York Comic Con featuring test footage, character story description, and artwork. Bruce Timm, who produces the entire DC Animated Universe, also announced at New York Comic Con that he'd be producing the show. A total of 26 episodes had been ordered for this first season. By the time of New York Comic Con, 13 had already been planned, so that's good. The producers also confirmed that if the series was a hit, other lanterns like Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, and Jon Stewart might be introduced. If they got Jon Stewart, I hope that they get Phil LaMarr.
Oh yeah.
That's not me just wanting to hear Phil as Jon Stewart in a different cartoon. Going back to our Young Justice discussion from a little while ago, I was kind of put off by Jon Stewart in Young Justice because it wasn't a voice I even recognized. I'm gonna have to look it up and see who voices him in Young Justice.
It's Kevin Michael Richardson.
Is it really? Oh yeah, that's right. Shit.
Yeah, the thing that actually it threw people off that Mal Duncan and Jon Stewart were both voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson. they kind of look very similar now, 5 years later. Enough that somebody was like, "Is Bumblebee dating Jon Stewart?" It's like, no. I can see why you might get that mixed up.
Boy. I it wasn't like I didn't. Yeah, I do remember recognizing that now that it was KMR. I don't know. As much as I love Kevin Michael Richardson's voice, I don't know. It just kind of didn't. I mean, Jon Stewart in Young Justice was only there for like a half a scene, but still, I don't know. As far as what Sam Register has to say about the series, Green Lantern, the animated series, is an epic space adventure. It has something for everyone, and we are delighted for fans to see it November 11th on Cartoon Network. We can't wait to show the world the fresh take on an iconic hero. One that represents not only the first Bruce Timm series to be produced in CG, but also the first time Green Lantern has been rendered in CG. Let's talk about stack up stuff.
Really? First time Green Lantern's been rendered in CG? What was that movie?
Okay, well, CG animation is probably what he meant.
I know what he meant.
Let's face it, Sam Register will not make a statement that is misinterpreted or is completely wrong, like they're going to be aliens. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Anyways, let's not go there.
Oh, wow.
Here forever if we go there. All right, so how does this show stack up? Well, at this point we've only had 10 episodes. So, as far as comparing to shows within the same franchise, the only thing I listed, and I put a huge before this, was JLJLU, because if GLTAS does well, and they've already said that if it does well, they'll introduce other lanterns. I mean, essentially, this is a superhero team-up show, but it's just it's
Just the Green Lanterns.
just the core. As far as stacking up in the same genre, which is the superhero genre, I have listed here Iron Man 94, X-92, X-Evolution, Wolverine and the X-Men, Batman, Superman, and JLJLU. I didn't list the Spider-Man shows because, well, let's face it, Spider-Man never needed a ring for his powers. Incarnation. So, I would say that for me personally, this stacks up against JLJLU pretty good so far. As far as the overall story that's been told, and as far as the animation style and everything else, I don't think it can be compared to BTAS. I just put that there just in case for whoever was going to choose. But what about you? What do you think? Or if there's any here that aren't listed that you think that it feels should stack up in the same genre against.
Well, I think actually people should. Well, we're sticking to superheroes, so.
Yeah, that's the genre. So,
I'd say a good contemporary to this is Superman.
The solo series, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Not quite on the scale of JLU, because we're just, at least for now, we're covering one patch of the universe.
Right, yeah.
And we're focusing on just the Green Lanterns, and not even that many of them yet. But that could certainly change over time.
Yeah. As far as stacking up against stuff in its own time slot, well, it's relegated to Saturday mornings now, and it's up against Young Justice and Thundercats. It actually falls between those two shows. Thundercats is on at 9:30 Eastern, GL is on at 10, and then Young Justice is on at 10:30. You know, we mentioned this. I don't know if you and I mentioned it on air or off air. I love that Cartoon Network has brought back Saturday morning shows. Now, I know you said when we were talking about Young Justice, you had said something about that you preferred it on a Friday night, or, it, you know, I forget what the hell we were talking about.
Just but the night in general. They were
right,
getting hammered
right, it
on
was,
Friday.
Right, it was that. And see, for me, Friday nights is, when it does air, it's, you know, Phineas and Ferb and all that Disney Channel stuff. So that's why I like having the superhero shows on Saturday morning, because it's kind of bringing back Saturday morning cartoons. As I said before, for me personally, there have been a couple of times where I kind of don't like a GLTAS episode, and I like either the Thundercats or the Young Justice more, and there are other times where I absolutely love a GLTAS episode, and I may not like the other two, or I may like a combination of the three. So what about you? How do you think it stacks up with the other two shows in the same time?
Well, I like it about as much as Thundercats. It's kind of, they're kind of neck and neck for me, and not quite as much as Young Justice. That could certainly change over the course of the first season.
Yeah. And as we've stated throughout this episode, we're only 10 episodes into the first season. And we wanted to do, because by the time that this would have gotten a second season, or will get a second season, the superhero spotlight here on Tooncast Beyond would have been over. So that's why we wanted to cover it now. Out of the, you know, out of the 10 episodes that we've seen so far, for the most part, they're really, really great. As far as previous decade, I have to agree with you, just for this category, is Superman the Animated Series, because it's kind of the same. I mean, if you look at Hal and you look at Clark, or if you look at Hal and Superman between the two series, they're kind of similar, even though it's completely different animation styles as far as GL is CG and STAS is not. But yeah, I mean, this kind of has the same feel to me as Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah. Kind of, it's kind of going with the Batman approach of one story movies, but it's doing more of the world building aspect that Superman did. And Superman basically did what Batman did and then added more continuity as it went along.
Right, yeah. So we are the IG. What were we going to say?
The other show that I would compare this to, just because they're both CGI, they're both on Cartoon Network, and they're both space epics, would
Star
definitely
Wars.
Be the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I knew you were going to go there, too.
And as far as animation goes, Clone Wars is more stylized, which might make it look better. I think they're pretty much neck and neck in animation quality. I feel like this show does a really good job of giving you an angle on the action, and there's some cartoons that are just bad at doing that, possibly for censorship reasons, and that's another thing that I like about this show. They don't pull punches. People have died on screen. And
you know, Bruce Timm has huge practice cracking the sensors, so.
Oh, definitely. And now, you know, it's on cable, so they can get away with even more than they possibly could on Saturday mornings on other channels now.
Yes.
So, you know, that's, yeah, it's nice. It's kind of like a grown-up superhero Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
That, you know, as grown-up cartoon fans such as ourselves, obviously, would like that.
Yes. I can't believe you missed the Tiny Toons reference.
I, you know,
Bruce Timm, over the years, has cracked the sensors. As far as the IGN replacement crew, since I think there has been an announcement that this is going to be coming to DVD, but since it hasn't even finished its first season, I'm going to rate it on a simply fact of you need to, you know, sit down and watch this. You know, even if it's just one episode to catch it, and I would give it a 4 just because it's that good of a show. I'm only giving it a 4 on the basis of that it is a good show, and simply because it's not out to own yet. I'm sure it will come out to own. What about you?
Yeah, I'd give it a 4 since 3 is just DVRing the show. That should suffice for now. But yeah, you know, when it does come out on DVD, or, oh, wouldn't it be great if it came out on Blu-ray? Yeah, I would definitely pick this show up. It's really quite good.
Yes.
And I feel like it's vastly underappreciated.
Well, yeah, because people now barely remember Saturday morning cartoons. I mean, you know, I besides you, I think there's one other person on Twitter that, there's two other people on Twitter that I talk to about this show besides you. So, you know, hey, anything is better than Teen Titans on Saturday morning. So, so as far as the reception, as I've said, the DVDs have not come out yet. November 2011 sneak peek of the series was mostly praised. Chris Sims of Comics Alliance commented that he had never been a huge fan of Green Lantern, but rather of DC Animation Universe creator Bruce Timm. And when he heard that Timm was producing the series, he began looking forward to it, saying that the one-hour premiere does it right. Tony Guerrero of Comic Vine said the first episode was good and definitely worth checking out. Brian Lowry of Variety praised the animation style, saying that Warner Brothers has gone full bore on into the CGI dimension with a bold, sleek design that more than anything resembles The Incredibles.
He's really not wrong.
I did not think of that, but he's not wrong. I mean, this is very Incredibilistic-like. There I go again, making up words. Apparently, there will be a comic book at some point. Art Baltazar, with art by Dario Bruzella. I think that's how you say his name. Let's see. And apparently, DC Direct will release 2 limited edition maquettes to accompany the official release of Green Lantern, the animated series, in the spring of 2012. One of the maquettes, sculpted by Paul Harding, is Hal Jordan, set for March 7th, 2012. And the other, Atrocitus, is sculpted by Dave Cortez and will be released 2 months after the Hell Jordan on May 23rd. Oh, so that's coming up, actually. Mattel will not manufacture action figures based on the series, contrary to popular belief. Well, Mattel, you suck anyways, so there you go.
What?
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads, and then we'll be back to close the show.
Hi, I'm Phil Lamar, voice of Green Lantern in Justice League, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You can now hear the GeekCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear GeekCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter GeekCast Radio, all one word. to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCastRadio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by GeekCast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next GeekCast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
So, final thoughts so far, and as far as, are you looking forward to more of this show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's been a very strong 10 or so episodes for the most part, and I look forward to seeing the rest of this season, and look even more forward to seeing the 13 that will likely air in fall.
Awesome. Anything you want to promote before we close the show, sir?
Just drop a line for the realscratchpad.wordpress.com where we do the scratch cast. We actually just recorded an episode talking about DC Nation and Marvel Universe. we tend to get on tangents.
Yes.
I was able to get into my piece and say, I don't like Ultimate Spider-Man yet. That was pretty much what I added. So, you look for that, and I'm doing the Green Lantern episode reviews for worldsfinest.com.
World's Finest.
Or is it the worldsfinest.com?
Yeah. I think it's worldsfinestonline.com, but yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are still ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. You can send us feedback to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is TuneCast Beyond. You can also follow @geekcastradio for all the major network updates. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter name?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a USB headset or microphone, you can actually do this directly from GeekCastRadio.com. There's a button on the right-hand side of any of the pages that says Send Voicemail Now. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be jumping back into the DeLorean once again, as we head back and review the Incredible Hulk cartoon with JT from Saskatoon. Oh my god, I have to watch that show. Oh god, somebody kill me now.
Is that the 90s one?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, bad. for now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Until next time, see ya.